is where can I find happiness? Where can I find happiness? I believe every living person in the universe craves for happiness. Nobody is craving for sorrow. Nobody is craving for hardships. Nobody is craving for difficulties. Everybody is craving for happiness. This is the universal appetite of human nature. Young and old, they are all craving for happiness. Poor and wealthy, they are craving for happiness too. Good people and bad people, they too are craving for happiness. Educated people and the people who are uneducated, they too seek happiness. So, every single person on the face of the earth is seeking happiness. Now, happiness is something that some people think, well, maybe if I go to a party, I will be happy. But the party is going to be over, and you're coming back home. Happiness is gone. Happiness is just temporary. Some people think, maybe if I go shopping, and, you know, maybe Disneyland, or maybe on a trip, somebody is looking forward to go for this long trip, and you're waiting. This is going to be my happiness now. I'm getting vacation. I can go on this long trip. But your trip, you had to come back home. Go back to work again. Your happiness is gone. It's finished. And maybe happiness is something that a job, that if I can get this job, you know, you come to this country, or it's your first job that you're looking for, and you get a job at McDonald's. Minimum wage. You say, wow, I got a job. I have money in my pocket now. I'm happy. How long does that happiness last in that job? And suddenly, eventually, you become, whoa, I'm not happy here anymore. I need a better job. I need more money. And that excitement is gone after a few years. So we see people are seeking happiness and they are never satisfied. Maybe somebody is saying, wow, I really want this car. This will make me happy. And you get a nice looking car with all the comforts. After a few years, well, I don't like this car anymore. I want that car now, a new one. I liked it when I bought it, but now there are better ones. And isn't that the world we are living in? We are never satisfied. Always craving for something new and never satisfied. And even a house. Oh, I bought a home. This is nice. After a few years, well, I like a bigger home with a swimming pool. I want something bigger. Anything that you crave and you get, people are not content. They want more and more and more. Even the clothes you buy, you see something, you say, oh, this is really nice. I like this. But after a few months, yard sale, everything, what you buy, or after a few years, you don't like it. You want something better. And that's the world we live. We are never content. If you turn with me to Ecclesiastes, Chapter 5, verse 10. Somebody might say, if I have money, wealth, I will be happy. Shannon, you can help me. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, and he who loves abundance with increase, this is also vanity. And here we see that the people who are rich, who is the richest man in the world today? Because everybody knows that Bill Gates is worth today $52.8 billion. He's the richest man in the world today. And at the age of 13, he began programming computer programming, and he's a Harvard University dropout. And there are 497 billionaires today, year 2002. And most of them are Americans. Next to Bill Gates, the next richest person is Warren Buffett. He is $35 billion worth. And of course, next to that is Albrecht, Karl, and Theo. These are two brothers. They are $26.8 billion. They are in Germany. They own Albertsons, Trader Joe's, and other lot of grocery stores and markets and supermarkets. And they are the richest people today. You might say, wow, that's a lot of money. But I'll tell you, the richest man, you know, the richest man who ever lived on the face of the earth is King Solomon. King Solomon. He was richer than all these people put together. Now, King Solomon, if you want to see his Solomon's wealth, go to 1 Kings chapter 10 verse 14. 1 Kings. Kings chapter 10 verse 14. Because a lot of people think, if I have money, I will be happy. I can pay off all my bills. I can do everything what I want. Then I'm finish with all my worries, I can be happy for the rest of my life. But I'll tell you, the more richer you get, the more worries you have, though you don't have security anymore, the more problems you have. And still, internally, in your soul, bottom of your soul, you're not happy. You can be happy everything you want to get, but inside in your soul, you are not happy. Have you heard that person? What's his name? Is it Howard Hughes? Was a millionaire. How did he die? Of a poor man. He didn't have anybody. Died of being just, he was on the road. Like, because he was lonely. He saw that money couldn't bring happiness to him. And King Solomon, who was the richest man who had ever lived, Bill Gates and everybody else put together, you cannot see the wealth. There's no comparison what King Solomon had. So, 1 Kings chapter 10 verse 14 says, the weight of gold that came to Solomon yearly was 666 talents of gold. You know how much is that? That is 25 tons of gold every year. That's how much wealth he got. 25 tons of gold. See verse, keep on reading. Then it says here, beside that, from the traveling merchants, from the income of traders, from all the kings of Arabia, and from the governors of the country, and King Solomon made 200 large shields of hammered gold. 600 shekels of gold went into his each shield. He also made 300 shields of hammered gold. 3 minas of gold went into the each shield. The king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Then he says, moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with pure gold. The throne had six steps, and the top of the throne was round at the back. There were armrests on either side of the place of the seat, and two lions stood beside the armrests. 12 lions stood there, one on each side of the six steps. Nothing like this had been made for any other kingdom. All King Solomon's drinking vessels were gold, and the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. Not one was silver, for this was accounted as nothing in the days of Solomon. Everything what he had was gold. Even his cups, drinking, everything what he had was gold, and nothing was silver. That's how rich he was. Verse 22 says, for the king had merchant ships at sea with the fleet of Hiram. Once every 3 years, the merchant ships came bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and monkeys. So the King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. Talk about wealth. You talk about money. This guy was rich. He was wealthy. He had everything. And, well, but some people say, if I get married, if I have the best husband or the wife, you know, I'll be very happy. Romance or love can bring happiness to me. Yes, it can. If you find the right person. Even if that person is a Christian. But I'll tell you, that alone cannot bring internal happiness to you. Some people can say sex can bring happiness. No, it can't. You know why? Solomon had 700 wives. So he was not satisfied with one. Not two, not three, not 10, not 100. 700. Still he was not satisfied. He had 300 concubines. Well, that shows that's not going to bring happiness. So what? All the wealth, the pleasure, everything what you had cannot bring happiness. How about the wisdom? Well, just imagine if you're sitting in White House and you're the most powerful man on the face of the earth. Everybody is seeking to be a president. A lot of people love to get that post. Will that bring happiness? If you have all the wisdom and everybody is looking for your wisdom, your decisions? I don't think so. Because where the men are concerned, the person who had a lot of wisdom was Solomon himself. If you turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 4 verse 30. 1 Kings 30. And it says here that Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all the men, than Ethan, than Ezrahite, Hermon, Calcol, Dada, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Wow. Whoever did that today? Nobody. Also, he spoke of trees, from the cedar tree or Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. Very good biologist. He spoke also of animals, of birds, creeping things, and of fish. Good zoologist. And men of all nations from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Wow. You talk about knowledge. You talk about wealth. You talk about power. It was Solomon. He had everything. I'll tell you. What happened to Solomon? With all the wealth he had. with all the power he had, with all the wisdom he had, Solomon realized this is all vanity. If you turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, the one we'll read in the morning. Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon. Proverbs was written by Solomon. And here, Solomon is writing from the perspective of man. Ecclesiastes is written from the perspective of man. From man's perspective. And he says here, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. But surely, this is all vanity. The person who enjoyed pleasure for the fullest was Solomon. He can write this. Because he had the best. And he says, then he says, I said of laughter, madness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish? I search in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under the heavens. All the days of their lives, I made my works great. I built myself houses and planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens, orchards, and planted all kinds of trees in them. And he had everything. He had the servants. He had the wives, the concubines, the gold, everything. Verse 9 says, so I became great, excelled more than all who before me, Jerusalem, and my wisdom remain with me. Then verse 11 says, then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, on the labor on which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. Verse 15 says, so I said in my heart, as it happens to the fool, it also happens to me. And why I was then more wise than I said in my heart, this is also vanity. For there is no more remembrance for the wise and of the fool forever, since all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come. And how does a wise man die? How does a rich man die? Just like a fool. What it means is we all come to this earth naked, and we go to the grave naked. Rich man may have a nice funeral, a nice casket, a lot of money spent on the funeral, but after a month, his body is being what? Being eaten by worms. It's getting rotten. You cannot take all your gold, your money, your beautiful house, your car. You can't. All what you earned, leave it for somebody else. Solomon said, how do you know whether I'm leaving for somebody else? How do you know that person is a fool? You may think he's right, but how many times? We see one person gets rich and then his generation is gone. Money is gone, all gone down the drain. And here we see that Solomon sees. And verse 23 says, For all his days are sorrowful and his work burdensome, even in the night his heart takes no rest. This also is vanity. The rich people cannot sleep. If you are thinking of money all the time, you can't sleep. It's burdensome. There's worry. So here we see that wealth, pleasure, wisdom, that everything cannot satisfy the bottom of man's soul. Because in this world, we come naked. The first thing what we always say is what? Give me more. I want more. Not satisfied. The soul cannot be fed from a delicious buffet. Revelations chapter 3 verse 17 says, Revelation 3:17. Jesus is talking here, and he says, because you say I am rich, have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Of course, you can wear the most beautiful clothes you have. You can live in the most richest home. And you can have all the pleasures and all the glittering and all the everything that looks so rich. But Jesus, God looks at you. He doesn't see any of those. He sees your heart. Man looks at outside, but God looks at the heart. When God looks at you, He says you are poor, miserable, naked, and wretched, and blind. Wow. Then He says in verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anointed your eyes with eyes so that you may see. God wants you to buy His richness. His richness is found in Christ. Because you know why? Christ is greater than Solomon. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12, verse 2. Matthew 12:2. It says here, when the Pharisees saw it, at the time of Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, His disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grains and to eat. Pharisees saw it and said, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath. He said, have you not read what David, when he was hungry, he and his those were with him, and he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law of the Sabbath, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath? Yet I say to you, in this temple there is one greater in that temple. And that one is greater than Solomon. And that is Christ. He is even greater than anybody else. Because Christ is greater than anybody. Queen of Sheba, who was so famous for her beauty, power, and wealth, came to see Solomon. And when she came to see Solomon, she said, I have heard about you, but now I see to my own eyes how powerful you are. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 6. Then she said to the king, it was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes, and indeed the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I have heard. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. But I'll tell you, Solomon wasn't happy. We see that in the book of Ecclesiastes. Full satisfaction and the full meaning of life and true contentment is found not in riches, not in wealth, but in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, your soul, internally, inside, at the bottom of your heart, you can have everything what you want, but your soul is not satisfied. Only Christ can bring that joy, satisfaction, and happiness. Not money, not wealth, not popularity, not being rich and famous. Only Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1, the word of God says, Isaiah 55:1, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Jesus is the bread of life. He is the water, the living water. He is greater than Solomon, because in Him you find satisfaction. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said, John chapter 6, 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. He's not talking physical hunger here. He is talking on a spiritual hunger. He's not talking a physical sense. He's talking, he who comes to me, the bread. Jesus talking about the bread here, as Jesus said in another scripture, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. The word of God, Jesus' words can satisfy us. It's the spiritual thirst, it's the spiritual hunger. And that can be satisfied by Jesus Christ. Once the soul finds the river, and that river can bring abundance of water, and that is Jesus Christ. He is the tree of life. And in that tree of life, there are fruits that can satisfy you. Maybe you're still craving for happiness. Maybe you're still craving for pleasure. Maybe you're still craving for wealth. And still not satisfied. Still looking. And the more money you have, the more bills you have. The more problems you have. And maybe you think, oh, I know Jesus. Maybe you know Jesus as a religious person. But He's not your Lord. Savior. Maybe you say, I'm a Christian. Maybe you're a Christian by name. Outwardly you're a Christian, but inwardly, do you know Christ? If you know Christ, if I say somebody on the street, I can say, well, that person on the street will say, George Bush, I know him. Do you really know him? You have heard of him, but have you eaten together? Do you know what he likes? Does he know what you like? Do you have fellowship together? Of course not. In the same way, people say, I know Jesus, but do you have fellowship with Jesus? If you really love him, do you read his word, what he has given us? You have fellowship? Do you have fellowship means what? Talking? Praying, communicating, reading His word. Jesus said, if you truly love me, what? You will obey my words, my commandments. And here we see that many people say that they are Christians, but inwardly they are not. Many are more concerned about food, clothing, and everything else. But Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 22, Luke 12, 22, Luke chapter 12, verse 22. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, and what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the to his stature. If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, all you of little faith? So do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows what you need. It's the nations of the world, meaning the unbelievers. They are the ones who are already worried about what they're going to do tomorrow and day after. And they don't know what time the life will end. Anytime God can end life. But Jesus says in verse 31, but seek the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. But first seek the kingdom of God. That's the first thing you need to do. First seek the kingdom of God. Then God is going to add other things to you. Your food on the table. Your clothing. A job. But how many people miss it? First they say, no, I have no time to read the Bible. I have no time to pray because I got all these things. So reading the Bible and praying is the last priority. It's not the first priority. They are not seeking the kingdom of God first. They are seeking the kingdom of God last. God is last in my list of things to do. Look, I got all this homework to do. I got all these bills to pay. I got all these things to attend. I got to clean the house. People are coming. I got to cook dinner. I got to take care of the kids. I got my car I had to attend. I got to paint the house. All these things. Well, I got to watch the football game. I got to see the angels play. But the Bible, time for that. But yet you say, did somebody ask you, do you love God? Oh yes, I love God. If you love God more than anybody else, why is he your last priority? You're deceiving yourself. Just say you're a hypocrite. Right? Let's face reality here. That's why God is number one. He is number one. Jesus said, what shall profit a man if you gain? What shall profit you if you gain the whole world? Maybe some of you want to become like Bill Gates. What profit shall it be if you gain the whole world and yet loses eternal life? Imagine that. Like a beautiful flower, as you will see today, and after a week, you don't see it anymore. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of the heart. Then verse 19 says, who being the past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness, to work of uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. What the scriptures is saying is that there are a lot of people who are craving for happiness, gratifying their flesh, looking for happiness with greediness, uncleanliness. Then verse 21 says, but you have heard him. You have heard Christ. You have been taught by Him. And you know the truth that is in Christ, so you don't walk that way. You are renewed in your spirit. The old man has passed. You are not your old person anymore. It's a new person that is in you. If you are in Christ, you are a new creature. All old things have passed. The new has become. Christ brings true happiness. And you can be rich in Christ. Even how poor you are. Even a person who doesn't have even a home to stay, not even have a good meal to eat, can be rich in Christ and go to heaven. Remember the rich man and the poor man we saw last Sunday? The rich man was dressed in purple, meaning he was poor, so rich. He had all the food to eat. The Lazarus, the poor man, what did he eat? The crumbs that fell out of the rich man's table. It says that Lazarus died. Then it says the rich man also died. So the rich and the poor, they all faced death. Lazarus who died, where did he go? He went to paradise. He stayed on this earth just a little short time. 60 years or 100 years for God, compared to eternity, is just like a drop in a bucket. So he went to paradise, the poor man. The rich man, with all the wealth and the comforts, where did he go? Suffering in agony in hell for eternity. He was suffering. The rich man saw Lazarus and said, "Oh, look at Lazarus, I know him. I'm suffering here. I'm in pain. Just dip my tongue with some cool water." Right? But that didn't work. I mean, you cannot get your way. Nobody can pray for the rich man who is suffering. There's no purgatory. And nobody can pray to get him out. Is there forever and ever. So, happiness is found in Christ. That's the bottom line. Amen. You can be happy on this earth just for a while. That's just temporary. The true happiness is what? Having eternal life. Well, that means even after you die, that means even if I die today, even after you die today, you can live in a mansion. Jesus said, when I go, I'm going because I'm going to prepare a mansion for you. This is not a house that is being prepared by man's hand, but prepared by God Himself. When God prepares something, you can bet on it, it's not going to break. And it's streets of gold, a gold mansion. And that is going to last forever and ever and ever. That's true happiness. And I'll tell you, true happiness is no worries. Even the richest people, they have a lot of worries. How many rich people commit suicide? And they are not happy. They say that they are not really happy. But the true happiness is what? No more worries. That is true happiness. If you turn with me to the book of Revelation, actually, starting from Revelation 20, verse 12. Then I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. That means everybody. Books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which was written in the books. The sea gave up the dead were in it. Death and the Hades delivered up to the dead who were in them, and they were judged each according to their works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That means there is a people who don't trust in Christ. The place is the lake of fire. Second death. And anyone not found written the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Chapter 21, verse 1 says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself be with them, and their God. No more presidents, no more Congress, no more senators. It's God and his believers. That's it. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death. Wow. Isn't that happiness? No more death. That's happiness, don't it? No sorrow. He said, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. That is happiness to me. That is happiness. People who seek happiness on the face of the earth, who found pleasure in everything, who left God out, left the Bible out, they didn't have time for God. Where did they end? In the lake of fire. That's the bottom line. True happiness is in Jesus. Let's pray. Dear, we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. So beautiful is the Word of God. It's like a precious, precious silver, precious gold. Lord, gives us wisdom. It gives us guidance. It gives us direction. Your Word is so great, Lord. We pray and ask, Lord God Almighty, what we heard today, that will truly sink into our heart, Lord. That in our mind, what we heard today, that we will not forget. So we are so easy to remember the worldly things and so easily forget the spiritual things. All the gossip we can remember, but not the Word of God. So Father, we pray and ask, Lord, the spiritual things, which is so important that we will remember, we will hide and treasure in our hearts, Lord. That we will not be deceived by the things of this world, but we will not be turned away from you, Lord. That we will be solid in your hands, that we will build our house on the rock of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we thank you again that you alone can give eternal life through Jesus Christ. That we will put our trust in him, that we will give everything to him and cause us to humble ourselves and repent before you for the wickedness, for the worldliness that we are in. So, Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Take away our pride and take away everything that is indecent in our heart, any kind of wickedness. Father, we pray, Lord, that you will come and dwell in our hearts, Lord, that we can have fellowship with you, Lord, and we can say, He is my God. And you can say, He is my daughter, my son. That we can have one day, we will have no more death, no more pain, and no more sorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.